Blog Talk Radio.
Sportsaholics 24/7. Thank you all for listening in. I'm your host, John, joined by my co-host, Brandon. Brandon, what's going on?
Not much, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So just to let you guys know, Nick will be joining us a little later on in the show, about a few minutes in. So we're going to start without him. Let's start off quickly. Just want to congratulate the UConn Huskies, both men's and women's team, won the NCAA championship in back-to-back nights. That's incredible. Women's team went 40-0. The men's team was a 7 seed. They went all the way to the championship game. They beat Kentucky, and it was a great game. I'm happy for them. Last year they were not allowed into the NCAA tournament due to a low APR score, which measures the graduation rates of a team, the GPA of a team, takes a lot of things into account. So basically last season their academics weren't as good as this season. So, they improved there. They improved basketball-wise. Brandon, what do you have to say about this?
I think it's just a great accomplishment overall. I mean, there's really nothing else you can say about it. I mean, UConn has got to be the most dominant basketball school of the 21st century, and maybe ever. I mean, what kind of team does, 9 national championships for the women, 4 for the men, and neither one of them have lost in the big game?
Mm-hmm.
All in the past 15 years. What?
Yep. It's incredible. For women's basketball, they don't lose. They just don't lose. And, I mean, you can look at some other teams. Some of their schools, some people say Duke, some people say Kansas, some people say Kentucky. But since 1999, UConn's won 4 national championships. So basically, since then, they've been the elite team in the country, unlike Kansas or Kentucky, who's been historically good. It's been UConn. And for this team next season, people say, will Shabazz come back? Whatever. I think that next season they're going to be even just as good, and I think they'll have a legitimate chance of winning the championship again next year. Brandon, looking forward to next year, very early, but do you think that UConn will be good next year?
Unfortunately, I don't, and that's kind of sad because, I mean, I'm going to be wrong about this, but, losing Shabazz Napier is going to hurt UConn big time, and it would hurt any program because he is just an unbelievable talent. And although I don't think he's going to be maybe the best player in the NBA in his class, at least at the start, I think he'll be a pretty solid player going forward. So, all the best to him. And I don't think UConn is going to do as well as they did. They certainly won't win on the men's side. On the women's side, yeah, they're going to win.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
men,
it's a dynasty for their women's basketball team. It's honestly incredible how year in and year out they could just rebuild. Now, just a quick reminder before we move on to the next topic. We'll be having another trivia question. today. And if you want to hear the question, you want to answer it, call in 347-884-8496. We'll let you know the question. You'll answer it. If you get it correct, of course, you go into the Sportsaholics Hall of Fame. So far in the Hall of Fame, we have Ira from Poughkeepsie, we have Zach, and we have Noah. So congratulations to those guys for being inducted. And if you want to be inducted into the Sportsaholics 24/7 Hall of Fame, all you have to do is call in, hear our question, and answer it. Now let's move on to a little golf. We don't talk about golf a lot on the show, but the biggest golf tournament's going on right now. The Masters in Augusta, Georgia. And Tiger Woods is not he's not in the tournament this year, which is disappointing because Tiger Woods is the face of golf, and I think that it takes away interest from some people. People love to see the best of the best. People love to see LeBron. People love to see, you know, Derek Jeter. People love to see all the best athletes. And while there are some very good golfers in the tournament, Tiger Woods is the guy. Brendan, does Tiger Woods not being in the Masters make you not want to watch?
Hey, John, unfortunately, Tiger Woods is not in the Masters, and the Masters are going on right now. So let's not talk about Tiger Woods for a minute, because, yes, although he is the face of golf, he is not the only golfer in the world. And
that is true.
You know, Tiger Woods not being in the Masters, in the end, it's still the Masters. It's still the biggest golf event of the year. It's still maybe the most famous four-day tournament of any sport. It's, you know, it's a great tradition that's been dated back to, you know, almost 100 years from now. And it's just an unbelievable thing. And the fact that Tiger Woods is in it, yes, it's sad. Yes, they lose a lot of viewership, but it's still the Masters. And let me tell you something right now. I may not always watch the Masters. I don't think that golf is the most entertaining sport to watch on TV, but Masters Sunday, my eyes are glued. I love it.
All right, that is a good point. And Tiger Woods not in it, so I guess we don't have to focus on him. But who do you think is going to win? And for me personally, I want Phil Mickelson to win. And I'll be honest, I think he has a legitimate chance of winning. He tends to play well at Augusta National. And his career is nearing – it's almost over, which is sad because he's been a fun guy to watch. He's a great person. You know, his wife had cancer, and he stuck with it, kept playing golf. Great golfer. I hope he wins, and I want him to win. Brendan, who do you think is going to win?
All right. That's a fair point, I guess. I mean, well, right now, for me at least, I mean, I can't really tell. It's way too early. It's only the first day. But, I mean, right now, this kid, Bill Haas, is you know, the current leader at minus four. But there are a lot of intriguing names behind him at minus three. We have Adam Scott, who won last year. We have Louis Oosthuizen, who's also minus three. And Bubba Watson, a former champion at minus three as well. And I think out of all those three, I think Bubba Watson could emerge at the top of that pack. But I don't know if he's going to be the overall winner. Again, I got to get to, you know, to the end of Friday or maybe even middle of Saturday to really see who's going to win. Because you never know.
And, you know, obviously the winners – the winner of the tournament, $8 million. So that's a lot of money.
The jacket means more than the $8 million, believe me.
All right, the jacket means more than the $8 million. I guess that's a good point. But I think, like I said, Phil Mickelson, I think he has a chance of winning. Adam Scott, who won last year, looking to repeat this year, I think he has a good chance. But like you said, it is really early in the tournament, and we have some time to go, and probably until a little later in this week, we won't know. We won't know who's going to jump out ahead.
John, Phil Mickelson kind of has a triple-double. Now, if you're an NBA player, a triple-double is a pretty good thing. Not if you're a golfer. Because a triple-double means it's a triple-double bogey.
I understand that, but like you said, it's so early.
Phil Mickelson has two sevens on his scorecard.
All right. Well, it's still really early. I hope he wins. I really hope he wins. And it's still early, so you know anyone can win. Now let's move on to the next topic. But we have Nick right now. Let's get him on. Nick, what's going on?
Hi, John. How's it going?
So thanks for calling in, Nick. And now, just in time, Nick, we're going to move on to the next topic. We're going to talk about the NBA playoffs. Coming up soon, the NBA regular season is winding down. And the Brooklyn Nets clinched the fifth spot in the playoffs. They beat the Heat earlier this week, and they lost to the Magic last night. They rested a few of their star players. Yeah. And this team is, in my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion, it's the most intriguing team in the playoffs because they have so many great players. They've beaten the Heat four times. They swept the Heat this season, which no team has done while the Heat had LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh. That's incredible, I think. Nick, how far do you think the Nets can make in the playoffs?
Well, that depends on so many things. I don't think they'll make it past the second round.
All right, we're having some trouble right now getting with Nick. So, Brandon, let's move on to you. Let's talk a little about the Pacers and Heat. Now, the Pacers have been struggling lately. Paul George has been struggling lately. And, you know, there's only about a game that separates the two teams. Who will get the one seed?
Okay, well, right now, the Pacers have a half-game edge over the Miami Heat, the number one seed. The Pacers rested all five of their starters last night and beat the Bucks 104-102. I mean, if you're the Pacers, you could pretty much rest the entire team and have the coaching staff play and beat the Bucks 104-102, because that is how awful and lazy the Bucks are. So, they don't really need it. The Miami Heat, on the other hand, lost by a lot to Memphis. And I think it's an awful
tonight,
I think Memphis... I think Memphis is an awful team. I think they're slow. I think they rely too much on Randolph, and when he's not on, you know, the team can't go anywhere. I don't think they can make far in the playoffs. Should they make the playoffs, I hope they don't go Phoenix. But, you know, Miami has been struggling too. I mean, they've lost, you know, a fair amount of their games, as have the Pacers. I mean, the Nets beat the Heat 88-87 the other night on Tuesday night off of very, very questionable no call by the refs on that final block by Mason Plumlee. But, I mean, in the end, the Miami Heat showed a lot of fight in them, and they showed a lot of desire and, you know, opportunities to win. They were there, and, you know, they just didn't take them. So it's not like they weren't doing their job that night, but last night, they did not have any interest in winning. And I know it because I was watching some of that game last night. It was just so sad to see a crippled, depleted Miami Heat team like that. Not to say I like the Heat, or that I love the Heat. I mean, I don't hate them. I have, you know, a tremendous amount of respect for them. I have a tremendous amount of respect for all the players, the coaching staff, LeBron James, you know. But I don't know. And I think the number one seed in the end is going to go to Miami because they just have an easier schedule going forward. And I think LeBron James is going to start his takeover mode 6 games before the postseason because they need to get the number one seed. But you know, again, you know, back to the Nets for a second. It all depends on who is that number one seed, because if it is the Miami Heat, I think the Nets have a much better chance against them than they do the Indiana Pacers, because when they beat the Miami Heat and swept them in the regular season, and they beat them twice in the preseason as well. But the Nets also got swept by the Indiana Pacers. So, I mean, it really depends on who is that number one seed, and that will fall in line with the rest of the Eastern Conference. I mean, you look at Charlotte, and Charlotte's as of right now the current sixth seed. Would Charlotte rather be playing against Toronto at the three seed, or would they rather be playing against Chicago at the three seed? And that's Toronto plays in that. Maybe Toronto moves on. Maybe Toronto can face the Pacers and thrive against them, or they can face the Heat and get completely destroyed. And should Charlotte move on, they can face Miami, and they can beat them because they can match up with their size. Oh, no, sorry. They beat the Pacers, I'm sorry. They match up with their size very well. Al Jefferson on Roy Hibbert, it's a great matchup. Kemba Walker and, you know, Lance Stephenson, another, you know, great matchup. And, you know, that the Charlotte Bobcats can give the Pacers a run for all the marbles there. But if they face the Heat, they're just going to get killed. So it all depends on that number one seed.
Yeah, and a question, you know, something that I've been pondering for the past few days. Are the Heat still the team to beat in the NBA? I honestly don't think so. Here's why. The Heat in the past few seasons, especially last season, they were just dominant. Not just the postseason, but the regular season too. And when I say dominant, it wasn't just beating teams by a few points. They were just demolished teams. It wasn't even close, so it wasn't even fair. And now I watched the Heat play teams like the Nets, who the Heat, in my opinion, I'm a Nets fan, but I'll even admit the Heat are better than the Nets. I watched them play each other, and LeBron looks like he's just a, you know, he plays well, but he doesn't look like the superstar that he does against other teams. Maybe it's just that one matchup, but I don't think the Heat are the team to beat. I think the team to beat in the NBA, San Antonio Spurs, Oklahoma City Thunder. Those two teams, we talked about the Spurs a few episodes ago, but those two teams have a lot of experience. And with the Thunder, they have the best player in the NBA this season. Kevin Durant is unstoppable. I mean, 6'11". I know people, you know, say he's too skinny,
He's not 6'11". He's not 6'11". Kevin Garnett is 6'11". You're thinking of the
All right, 6'9".
Thank you.
I apologize for that. But I think Durant is such a good scorer that he's very difficult to guard. And I think the Spurs have just such great chemistry. After all those years together with, you know, Duncan, Parker, Ginobili, now they have some young guys, Kawhi Leonard, very athletic guy who is very underrated. I think those two teams are the teams to beat in the NBA. Do you still think the Heat are the teams to beat in the NBA?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Really easy. It's really easy. They're the defending champions. What more can I say about that? They're the defending champions. LeBron James is the best basketball player in the world. This season may not be that case, but he is the best player in the world and has proven it time and time again. The big three, playoff time, unstoppable. You cannot stop. And I would take those three over one guy, Kevin Durant, any day. LeBron James is going to host the Larry O'Brien Trophy once again this year. And there's just no other way around.
Okay. Now we have Nick back on. Nick.
Yeah, John. I'm really, really sorry about that.
It's all right. All right, so here's the question for you.
Okay.
The Heat lost to the Nets. They were swept by the Nets. They have not been as dominant this season as in seasons past. Are the Miami Heat still the team to beat?
Yes and no. Yes, because commercialized, they are like, they may not be the best team in the NBA, but they're the most, like, they're like the most commercialized, the most media-driven team in the NBA, which to an extent kind of makes them the team to beat. But at the same time, and they're defending champions. But at the same time, there's other teams to beat that I'd be more impressed if you do beat. Like, if you beat the Spurs, I'd be more impressed. As bad as the Pacers have been playing, I'd also be more impressed if the team beats the Pacers rather than the Heat. So yes and no.
Yeah,
I have a good question. Hold on.
All right.
How important to you guys is home court advantage? I mean, like, not in terms of, you know, the one to eat, but, like, matchups such as, you know, maybe, you know, the Portland Trailblazers going up against the current fourth seed, the Houston Rockets, or on the East, the Chicago Bulls going up against the Brooklyn Nets. How important is home court advantage in those two situations especially?
Not that important.
I disagree with you on that. I'm sorry, but home court advantage is extremely important. I'll give you an example, and again, I'll go to the Nets for this because I know the Nets best. But the Nets at home are amazing. They have a really long win streak at home, I think like 14 or 15 games. But on the road, I mean, they just lost to the Magic last night. On the road, they're okay.
They also rested everyone.
But it's the Magic, and that's just one example. But throughout this whole season, they've struggled on the road compared to at home. So home court advantage is absolutely huge. And unfortunately for me, since I'm a Nets fan, the Nets won't have home court advantage for any of these rounds if they make it past the first round or even in the first round at all. They don't have home court advantage. So I think whoever gets the one seed, they'll have home court advantage, and that's extremely important.
Right, and yeah, I totally agree with you. Now, going back to the Chicago Bulls, them and, yeah, the Brooklyn Nets, they have had the two best records in the NBA this calendar year of 2014. And why is that? Because they've had tremendous success at home. Chicago and Brooklyn, although Brooklyn does have a very, very formidable winning streak at home, you know, 16 games, they have both dominated on their home court. And that's not an understatement. They have dominated on their home court. On the road,
not so much. Johnny mentioned the Nets lost to the Magic. They also rested pretty much everyone. They listed Paul Pierce as injured with a hip pointer. I don't even know what a hip pointer is. Okay, I don't even know if it's an injury. You get what I mean? Like, it doesn't.
I do get what you mean, and I have a good piece of evidence to support this too.
They are the 50. They have pretty much clinched the 50 at this point.
Yeah.
But we don't know who they're playing. But Toronto, because they are tied with the Bulls, if they fall in behind, they are the 4th seed, and they have not been so good at home. Not to say that they've been, you know, bad or awful, but you know they haven't been as dominant as the Chicago Bulls and the Brooklyn Nets. And that could play a huge factor when the Nets have a home court advantage against Toronto. Because, you know, that means they can dominate. As opposed to Toronto, the Nets can come in and win.
Yeah, I just want to bring up an interesting stat quickly. For the Miami Heat this season at home, they're 31-8. That's incredible. On the road, they're 22-17. That's a big difference. That's a 9-game difference at home and on the road. So, Nick, I'd like to hear you defend your argument about why you think that home court advantage does not matter.
Well, that depends on the situation. Some teams are better on the road. Like the Knicks, for example, are not that great at home. But the Knicks, honestly, sometimes I think the Knicks play better away because all the fans just boo everybody. So it depends on the situation. In the Nets case, I agree with you. But for the Mets, like in sports in general, the Mets, for example, they play better on the road than they do at home. So that depends
all right.
on the situation.
Nick, you're lucky if the Mets play good at all. Good at home or on the road. They never play good.
True, but
okay, now, I'm looking at all the teams' records, and there are zero teams that have more road wins than home wins. The Knicks have one more home win than a road win, and two teams, the Wizards have the same amount of wins at home and on the road, and there's another team, too. But, so, again, home court advantage is very important. I don't understand how anyone can say that it's not.
Very important. In this NBA playoffs, it is, but it's not always important. Like, for the Knicks, for example, they have one more home win than they do road win. That's not very significant.
But let's focus on playoff teams.
I got a good story for you. And it involves an NBA team that's not going to the playoffs this year and actually was the first team to be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs this year, and that is the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, they have a huge, huge decision to make in the offseason, many huge decisions to make in the offseason, what to do about Mike D'Antoni, who they're going to let go in the offseason, Paul Gasol, Nick Young, all these players, Jordan Farmar. You know, they've already committed all this money to Kobe Bryant over the next 2 years. What do they do? Do they fire D'Antoni? Do they let Gasol walk? Do they pick up somebody in free agency? Who do they make a run at? What if you are Jeannie Buss, and if you are the manager of the Lakers, what would you do to save this team?
All right. As much as it pains me to say this, and as much as it's going to be, some Lakers fans might disagree with me, I think the Kobe Bryant era in Los Angeles has to end.
What?
It has to end. Here's why, okay?
He's committed.
Kobe, here's why. Brandon, let me explain. Here's why. Kobe Bryant this season has just sat on the bench the whole time. And it's been almost like a sideshow, you know, the media's focusing more on that than the actual team, which I don't blame them because the team's awful and Kobe's one of the best players of all time. But here's the thing. Kobe won't be there forever. His career is ending. Why keep him there and keep this team bad? Because until they get rid of Kobe, the Lakers will not be good again. I can guarantee you that. He costs too much money. You know, he demands too much attention. They will not be good again. This is not a knock on Kobe Bryant. And you know what? Kobe's not listening to this. But if Kobe, you know, Kobe takes stuff like this when people say this, he takes it as motivation, and he plays better. But I don't know. Kobe Bryant, he doesn't have much left in the tank, and I think it's best for both parties, both the Lakers and Kobe, to move forward.
Is that the Lakers just committed like $50 million to Kobe Bryant over the next, like, two seasons. Kobe's not going anywhere until at least that. Maybe they won't be as good. Right. But what do they do now? Because Kobe's on that roster. There's no other way around that. He is on that roster for the next years, and he's
Brandon,
the Lakers the day he dies.
Let me ask you something. Brandon, how relevant has Kobe been to the Lakers this year?
He's been the only thing keeping the Lakers in media right now.
He's been the only reason
why ESPN ever put a single camera on the Los Angeles Lakers
this season, or
any season before.
Brandon, what's more important, media or winning? What's more important, the media or winning?
Well, unfortunately,
who cares about
the Los Angeles Lakers, in my opinion, are the worst team in the Western Conference and the second worst team in the NBA at the beginning of the season behind the Milwaukee Bucks. Now,
okay, but answer his question.
Yeah, answer the question.
To be honest, winning is totally more important.
Obviously.
At a certain point, you know, when the Lakers have just been a complete sideshow and Kobe Bryant's the master puppet straining around, how could you not just focus all your attention on the one dude who's on your team that's going to go in the Hall of Fame?
Because right now, Brandon, he's not an asset to this team. He's not an asset to this team.
Brandon, what do you think? We all know that ESPN is totally biased. We all know that.
Forget about ESPN.
Forget about ESPN.
You have an obsession with media and port. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't care how often they talk about Kobe. I don't care how often they talk about LeBron. And neither of those players. All that matters is they want to win. And if the Lakers want to win, they get rid of Kobe Bryant as soon as possible. I know they just re-signed him to a big-time contract. They can amnesty him. They can trade him. I guarantee there's some teams. Like the Philadelphia 76ers. Kobe Bryant's from Philadelphia. They will gladly make a trade for Kobe. Gladly.
They're not going to get rid of Kobe. Either Kobe walks or he finishes out his contract and retires. There is no other way around that. If you are the GM of the Lakers, were you the idiot that's going to trade Kobe? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a clear decision for me.
But you would trade Kobe Bryant.
100%. If he brings nothing to my team, which that's what he brought this year, nothing. If anything, he brought negative attention because he was speaking out against his teammates. He was speaking out against his team. It's time for the Kobe Bryant era to end in Los Angeles. I hate to say it, but it is.
Brandon, give me one example how Kobe is actually helping the Lakers win this season. Give me one reason. But in the 16th,
the Lakers weren't awful, but ever since he got injured and then re-injured, they have been playing the dumpster fire.
Exactly. Exactly. That just proves my point.
In the NBA, drawing comparisons to Michael Jordan.
So what?
At the state of your team.
Brandon, I understand that, but here's the thing. Kobe Bryant is very injury prone now, and we have about 90 seconds left in the show, so very quickly, he's very injury prone now. He's not as good as he was, okay? There is zero reason for him to stay in Los Angeles. They're spending millions and millions of dollars on him. He's just sitting on the bench this season. He might do the same for part of next season. He might get injured again. He's not that great anymore. If I were them, I'd trade him to the Sixers so he can go back to his hometown of Philadelphia. He can play there for a year or two, try to pick up that team. That team, they're awful, the Sixers. So try to do anything to make them a little better.
So you're saying he should pull an MJ?
No, well, it'll make more sense because he's from Philadelphia.
Well, no, I mean, pull an MJ, like, you know, just stay for a team with 1 or 2 years. Forget about where he goes.
He still has 1 or 2 years left in the tank, but he's not at the same level. He will not be at the same level that he was, you know, ever since before this season. And
look,
I hate to say it because such a fun player to watch.
No matter when or how the Kobe era ends, it has to end on a high note. These two teams cannot leave the way that they are, you know, at right now.
Exactly. Get rid of him.
What are you going to do? Snap your fingers? Magic happens? Have a realistic mindset.
I'm sorry, Nick. I have to cut you off. We have to wrap up the show. But thank you all for listening. Be back next time.